I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come
on. Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
We come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. That's all that really matters. Coming your way this hour, Gary Parrish, CBS Sports, is going to join us to talk about this Final Four. The Final Four that college basketball gets, but college basketball doesn't deserve. Four incredibly likable coaches, likable teams, likable players. This was a group of teams that has a little bit of everything. You've got the high expectations, experience being in the Final Four, looking to become kind of a generational type team as Villanova, the one seed, dancing into the Final Four, blowing out everybody just 2 years removed from winning their last national championship. And what a job Jay Wright has done building that program into a national monster in the Big East. When people wondered what the future of the Big East was going to be when everybody departed. In 2003, Miami, Boston College, Va Tech left the ACC, left for the ACC. Then 5 years ago, Louisville, Syracuse, Notre Dame bolted for the ACC, and the Big East was left holding their jock, saying, we don't want to be picked apart by football schools anymore. Instead, we'll become basketball only. Now, the football-playing schools ended up really taking a tumble, like UConn. But for the school that said, we're a small, or we are private institutions that play basketball only, or have smaller Division II or 1AA or FCS, Division III, whatever it is, football teams, we'll go all in on basketball. And we will also bring in a Creighton. We will bring in a Butler. We will bring in a Xavier. And that has worked. They got that deal from FS1. They stayed at Madison Square Garden for the tournament. And it has worked. They got not one, but two number one seeds this year. And now Villanova back in the Final Four. So that has worked. And that's been a great story. Kansas, Bill Self, always being bounced early with talented teams. This year, a lesser talented team fighting through adversity and making it to the Final Four the first time since 2012. And his first crack at a championship, perhaps, since 2008. His only title in his long Hall of Fame history. Michigan got hot late. They end up winning the Big Ten tournament. John Beilein's been a grinder his entire career. One of the guys that just seems like the most down-to-earth, one of the good dudes in this sport. Michigan dancing into the Final Four. And then you have, of course, Loyola Chicago, where Sister Jean, a 98-year-old nun, is more lucid than most of the analysts we have on this tournament, saying, what is she giving up for Lent? Her response is losing. An 11 seed Loyola Chicago that won a national championship in a bygone era back in the early 60s in the Final Four. This is just awesome. So these are such likable teams and cool stories and great coaches and great programs in under the spectacle of a nonsensical, corrupt, ridiculous, awful FBI probe and everything else that has happened over the course of this year when it came to college basketball. But going back to Villanova for a moment, Jay Wright was a guy known for his three-piece suits, his dapper wear, but early exits in the NCAA tournament. I know I brought this up on this show, that outside of Villanova's national championship 2 years ago, he was best known for exits in the round of 32. But 2 years ago, that team broke through that glass ceiling, went to the national championship game, won on that historic, epic, legendary buzzer beater over North Carolina, and the program will never be the same. Jay Wright has built a monster. Built a monster in a non-Power 5, non-football conference school. The Big East has proven it can be on even playing field with all of these huge athletic departments that dedicate all of this money not only to basketball but football as well. And Jay Wright and Villanova, if we're going to talk about how things have changed in Philadelphia after the Eagles Super Bowl championship, we should bring up Villanova. Because maybe Villanova changed Philly sports, and it wasn't the Eagles. You know, right now, the city of Philadelphia is on fire sports-wise. After that Super Bowl run, the Flyers went on a huge historic run. Maybe not historic, but a huge run. The Phillies are loading up Jake Arrieta. They feel like this is their year to break through. The Philadelphia 76ers, the first team ever to start three players under the age of 23 for the entire season, which they have done, and win this many games. Look at what the Sixers have done after years of misery. The Philadelphia 76ers are in the postseason. They clinched a berth this weekend and have 42 wins. They're 42-30, and right now they're the four seed of the East. And no team in NBA history has ever had that many wins and started three players under the age of 23. Joel Embiid, Dario Saric, Ben Simmons. They don't even have Markelle Fultz, the number one overall pick from last year. So Philly right now is flying high, but maybe Villanova changed everything. We think of it as the four major sports, and that the Eagles finally crashing through and winning their first Super Bowl was what it took. But maybe it was Villanova 2 years ago that did that. Because Nova for years was a good basketball program that just couldn't be counted on to get to Final Four. They weren't in that blue blood category. They just were not in that same category. And I'm not saying they're there right now either. But Villanova right now is the heavy favorite to win another title this year, to win this Final Four. And if they win two championships in 3 years, they put themselves in that very finite, rarefied air. And what does it do to Jay Wright? Because Jay Wright has been to three Final Fours with this team, all since 2009. And he had been known for that being his one bright moment, but a lot of second-round exits, third-round exits, opening weekend exits. And instead now he's looking at his second Final Four in 3 years and perhaps a second championship, because that team is playing incredibly good basketball. Villanova may have changed Philly sports. 855-212-4CBS, Twitter DA on CBS. And I know what you're going to be saying if you're a naysayer. DA, you're reading too much into this. How does one sport correlate to another sport? It's because once there's a taste of winning in that town, it is seen as, oh, wait, we can do that too. People go to the parade. People latch onto the news coverage. People watch those games, see the celebrity, see the success, see the happiness, and people start to believe, hey, we can do that too. It happened in Boston. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. When the Patriots won in 2001, it changed that town from negativity and cynicism. We never win anything. The 90s and much of the 80s for most of those teams were miserable. The Celtics had won in 1986. They had not won anything over the course of those 16 years. The Patriots are a Cinderella story. They go on to win the Super Bowl, and suddenly it's not we're a cursed sports city, it starts changing the narrative and how people felt about themselves and how those front offices started to glean success from each other. The Celtics, the Red Sox, the Bruins started learning from one another. They looked at the Patriots, said, what are you doing? They became very in bed with one another. The success begat more success. And it wasn't good enough to just get to the playoffs and lose and be heartbroken. You had a team in town that did it. And so now you needed to push harder to do it. That stuff is real. Maybe Nova changed everything in Philly. We'll get to Gary Parrish about the Final Four coming up here on the show in about 8 minutes from now. But can we cue up the music here, boys and girls? Because we've got one spicy moment standings to go over. As you know by now, the DA Show's Bracket Challenge involved many of you guys as listeners and gals, and we thank you very much for playing. But we here inside these walls were playing for something even a little bit more than bragging rights. We were playing to avoid eating the hottest salsa on the market that we got from our guys at Pepper Palace at the Mall of America during Super Bowl week. The loser of the men's bracket would have to eat a full chip, a big mouthful of this hot salsa. There is one level of immunity if you won the women's bracket. But if you lost both the men's and the women's bracket, then you were in for double jeopardy. You would have to eat a quarter of the jar of this salsa over the course of the day. Now, let's start with the standings. Myself, Pete the Body Bilotti, Andrew Bogish, and Sean Mraz, along with some other celebrity pickers, as we had Robbie the House Rosenhaus and Jacob Wilkins, the voice of the Chicken Challenge.
And now he is twerking his face.
Out of the six of us, Mraz, who is in first place?
Pete the Body Bilotti, who I believe is also clinched first place.
Clinched first place in this whole mess. He had the best bracket out of anybody.
The Body. Yeah.
Correct. Second place, actually, Andrew Kaplan. Andrew Kaplan.
On the digital simulcast, Kaplan also in the middle of this. Apologize for forgetting him. He's in the middle. So he's at number two.
At number two. Then number three would come Jacob Wilkins following that.
Okay.
And now he is twerking his face.
Number four would pull Andrew Bogish. And this is where we start having, once we get to the Bogishes of the world here, we are now set at our scores. None of us here from this point out can gain anymore. So Bogish.
We don't have anybody
fourth.
Left.
Right, exactly. But he will not gain any more. Yeah, exactly. He will not gain any more points.
We've got no teams left once you get to Bogish and below.
Fifth would be me. I can't finish in last, can't finish in first.
You can't finish in last.
No. Because, as I said, we can't lose, can't gain any. So fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh are set.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
Sixth place, Robbie the House Rosenhaus. Mm. Which means we have a guy who's clinched last place in our bracket challenge.
So it's official.
It's official. The guy with last place has 41 points and can't gain any 41 points, and nobody can fall back to 41 points.
41 points. How many points does Pete the Body Bilotti have?
Pete the Body Bilotti currently has 67 points with a possibility of finishing with 115 points.
Wow. So Bilotti is like three times as effective as I am.
Yeah, you've clinched last place.
Disgrace.
So barring you winning the women's bracket, you will be eating salsa.
Wow.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Just for those wondering, my final four was Wichita State, Duke, Gonzaga, and Virginia. Virginia and Duke in your national championship game, and Virginia taking it home. And so that means that once Virginia was knocked out, the only 116 upset ever, actually. So I picked that incorrectly. That was nice. And Gonzaga and Wichita State didn't make it out of the first weekend as well. They got knocked off in the first game. Gonzaga only made it to the Elite Eight and then was knocked out by, was it the Elite Eight? Or maybe even before then. I can't keep track. And then Duke last night. Once Duke went down to Kansas in overtime, I was cooked. And so now I have clinched the worst bracket of the DA Show's Bracket Challenge. It's a good thing I'm not paid for my sports analysis, especially on college basketball. However, there is my immunity still lurking. The women's bracket. Can I win the women's bracket? I've got UConn taking it all, but we all do. And of course, UConn is still alive. I've got UConn playing Baylor in the national championship game. However, Baylor has been eliminated by Louisville. Can I find a way with early upsets to still take home the crown and avoid my pennants? It's the only way. After today's show, we're going to be breaking down all the math on the women's brackets here inside this show. And tomorrow morning, we will give you all of the math. But right now, it has been clinched. I have the worst bracket out of the men's tournament, and we haven't even played the Final Four. I am a pathetic loser, disgraceful college basketball picker. I should never do this ever again. And of course, this is all my idea, and I'm the bozo that now has to eat all the salsa. Stupid. Stupid, DA. Just do your talk show like every other talk show host in America. Stop trying to make all these things gimmicky and fun and silly. Now you got to pay the price yourself, you bozo. Just a total dope. Gary Parrish next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
23 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Today's show being simulcast on Facebook. So go to Facebook Live to check us out. That's facebook.com/TheDA Show. Again, facebook.com/TheDA Show, and watch the simulcast of the show, which usually is at watchda.com every day, but today we've shifted it over to facebook.com/TheDA Show. Joining us is college basketball insider Gary Parrish, now that we have our Final Four team set. Gary, good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. How you doing?
Everything's all right. You know, a little overwhelmed like everybody else who covers this sport for a living, but the end is in sight.
Duke, Kansas yesterday was an instant classic, but we never thought that Kansas would do it with this team. They've had much more talented teams in the past. Why was this one specifically equipped to go to the Final Four for Bill Self?
Well, you know, Bill is somebody who puts together a team that's capable of this literally every year. It doesn't always get there. It's the nature of a single elimination tournament.
Gary Parrish with us here on CBS Sports Radio. Why don't we try to get him to a better cell phone area? I believe it sounds like Gary Parrish needs a little bit of time.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
So, Gary, you were saying every year Bill Self builds a team that can do this.
Yeah, you know, the nature of a single elimination tournament, you know, it prevents it from happening sometimes, but they're always capable, and obviously on this Selection Sunday, even though, you know, I agree with you and most people who say that this Kansas team wasn't the most talented Kansas team, not even one of Bill Self's best Kansas teams, it was clearly capable of doing this. And so why did they get there? Because Grayson Allen's shot didn't go down at the end of regulation. Sometimes it really does come down to that.
Grayson Allen had a tough game yesterday. Do you think that he took on too much of a role in that game and at times shot Duke out of a win there? I mean, that shot almost went down to the end of regulation, but he was not having a good shooting day overall yesterday.
Yeah, I've seen him, you know, get in that mindset and actually be brilliant. You know, the game early in the season against Michigan State in Chicago, when I think he got 37 points, he had the same mindset. On that night, the shots went in. Yesterday, the shots didn't go in. I really didn't like the final possession in regulation because it was so clear that he wasn't letting go of that ball. He was going to take a good shot or a bad shot, but he was definitely going to take a shot to try to win the game. And when you are on the court with, for the most part, four other pros at all times, I don't know that's the way that final possession should have gone down. But again, if he makes the shot, and he almost made the shot, it hit the rim, I think, four different times, then we're discussing, you know, him as, you know, as somebody who took control of a game in the final seconds and was determined to push his team into the Final Four. It just bounced the wrong way on him. So here we are.
As you alluded to, Bill Self's Kansas teams have the talent to go to the Final Four every year, but it's through luck of the draw, and also Final Fours and eliminations in one-game elimination tournaments are very difficult. Do you think that there's something that Bill Self has to own about why so many talented teams did not get this far for his Kansas squads?
It is certainly part of his resume, and it was interesting leading up to the Duke game. You know, the day before in press conferences, he brought up the fact that he had lost, you know, seven times in the Elite Eight. And it wasn't a question directed at him about that. He brought it up, which seemed to suggest that it was on his mind. And, you know, when you watched him celebrate yesterday at the buzzer, his emotions, visible emotions, were more than even when Jay Wright won the national championship 2 years ago. It seemed, yeah, like a happy moment, but also a sense of relief, you know, because he didn't have to walk into a room and once again answer questions about why his team that was favored, at least on the seed line, because I know at tip-off they actually were underdogs in Vegas, but on the seed line, his team that was supposed to get to a Final Four didn't get to a Final Four. I ultimately have always chalked this up to nature of the tournament. You know, people forget that, you know, before Billy Donovan won his first of two national championships, he was eliminated in the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament five consecutive years. And people started asking big questions about Billy. Okay, he can recruit all these guys and have nice regular seasons, but in the tournament he can't get it done. People are now saying that about Tony Bennett. They're now saying it about Sean Miller. I've always believed this. If you continue to build nice rosters and good teams and put yourself into that field with an advantageous seed, it happens for you. Sometimes it doesn't, but eventually it will. And yesterday was an example where the ball just bounced Bill Self's way. Sometimes it hasn't, but it did yesterday. And I think it's far more important as a coach, rather than just get lucky in the tournament, just continue to put yourself in a good position to be great in that tournament. And literally nobody does that more often than Bill Self.
Gary Parrish, CBS Sports, joins us here on the show. He oftentimes fills in for me right here on these airwaves, CBS Sports Radio. Is this Villanova team actually better than the one that won the national championship?
There's a lot of metrics that say that it is. And, you know, I know that they weren't Big East regular season champs, but that really comes down to a Phil Booth injury more than anything about the quality of their basketball team. You know, the team that won the Big East this season, Xavier, you know, Villanova ran off the court twice. This Villanova team would have entered Selection Sunday number one in the AP poll and Big East champions and as the number one overall seed if they had just stayed healthy. They didn't, so they took some losses that I think maybe altered the perception of what that team is. But it's clearly, according to most computers, the best team in the country and has been right there in that conversation for much of this season. And I thought yesterday was an awesome example of why. They didn't play well. Jalen Brunson didn't play well. Mikal Bridges didn't play well. They didn't shoot it well. They turned it over too much. And they still won by double digits. They still beat a good Texas Tech team by double digits. If you go back to their first loss of the season, and I always thought this was important, you know, Butler shot above 50% from three-point range and barely beat them. Like, if you could have shoot above 50% from three-point range and take as many threes as Butler took in that game, you should win that by 15, 20 points. It wasn't like that at all. It was a game still up for grabs in the final 4 minutes, in the final 2 minutes. And so I always thought, you know, people said, oh, they lost to an unranked team. I always thought that was impressive, that you took that kind of shooting barrage from another team on the road in a hostile environment and still, like, had a chance to win the game. They are the favorite right now to win the national championship, and they probably should be.
It's a really good point. On Michigan, we tend to sometimes look too far into something and try to extrapolate it, but it's impossible to ignore the fact that Michigan, as the rest of the Big Ten, had that full week off before the tournament began because they moved back their conference tournament. Michigan came out looking fresh and springy and bouncy throughout this tournament, and they've kind of rolled into the Final Four. Do you think that helped them?
I don't think it hurt them, which was the conversation leading up to, you know, this NCAA tournament. How will the week off affect, you know, a Michigan team that was obviously playing well, you know, heading into the, you know, as the regular season and Big Ten tournament unfolded. And I consistently said, I don't think it'll affect them positively or negatively. You know, people, you know, often look at, you know, schools that have a week off before the NCAA tournament, and they say, hey, you know, they rarely get to the Final Four. But that's not because they're not good enough or because the – I mean, it is because they're not good enough. It's not because of the week off. It's because typically the leagues that play a week early, you know, are mid-major leagues. So those teams just don't get to the Final Four because those teams just don't get to the Final Four. You know, I said that if any Big Ten team lost early, people would point to that. And if any Big Ten team went to the Final Four, people would point it out as you know, maybe even an advantage. I think really it didn't hurt them, but I don't know that it helped them. It's just that you know, they were quality. They're a very good team and have been that way for a month, and so here they are. I don't make much of that one way or the other.
Finally, Loyola of Chicago has had this amazing Cinderella story, but they wouldn't have probably gotten an at-large bid unless they won their tournament. And now here we sit in the Final Four. Do you think this will open up any selection committee members' mind the next time around we have a mid-major like Loyola of Chicago knocking on the door but didn't get the automatic bid?
I hope so, but I doubt it. And the reason is because they have very you know, stated guidelines that they follow. They look at numbers. They rely on quadrant one wins / quality wins more than they rely on anything else. And if you play in a league like the current version of the NBC, you're just not going to have opportunities to get those. And so I think, you know, that gap, to the extent that there's a gap, it's widening more than it is closing. You know, there is a lot of data that suggests the so-called mid-majors aren't getting a fair shake on Selection Sunday when it comes to at-large bids. Now, some of that is because some of the teams that used to be mid-majors aren't anymore. You know, once upon a time, you know, Butler was a mid-major. Now it's a Big East school. You know, once upon a time, Wichita State was a mid-major. Now it's an American Athletic Conference school, top seven league in the country. So, you know, some of the shift is rooted in the schools that are traditional powers at that level are no longer at that level. But I do wish that the committee would recognize excellence, because Loyola Chicago is a surprise Final Four team, but they're a top 30 team in the country and have been for much of this season. They've only lost once since January 3rd, and that was a two-point loss on the road. So they've been good for a while. They won in the regular season at Florida. You can't do that unless you're good. And so while it is surprising that they are here as an 11 seed, clearly their seed doesn't correlate with the quality of that basketball team.
Gary Parrish, CBS Sports, college basketball insider. Follow him for the latest on the Final Four. It's a busy time of year for him at Gary Parrish, CBS, and he's all over it on Twitter and, of course, all over the place on the CBS Sports channels. Always good to get you up, buddy. Thanks so much, man. Keep up the great work.
Thanks for saying that. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Gary Parrish joining us this morning on the show. When we come back, we have got the cut line, the story that did not make the cut, plus your epic fail. Me doing a really bad Coach K impersonation. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
A no-sweat-pants at work zone.
The reason I've listened since overnight is you and Mraz bring the insight. You bring the honesty. You bring the stuff we want to hear. It is the cheese talk.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We thought so.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
The cheese talk. That's what we're best known for around here. The cheese talk. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Today's simulcast available on Facebook. So you can watch the show on Facebook today if you can go there at any point during the day, rather, and actually go check out all of the segments of the show. Also, we normally post the best of the show on Facebook as well. So become a friend of the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDA Show. Also, koozies are coming. We've got DA Show koozies. But entries have to be accepted, have to be in by April the 1st. So you've only got a week left to go. So subscribe to Nomad on YouTube, which is my digital simulcast, my digital travel series. Just search my name in Nomad, subscribe, and then you can email your username that you're using to subscribe so that we can cross-check and make sure you're subscribed. You're a sub, as they say in the biz. And then just email us your sub name and then also your mailing address. We'll select 100 lucky winners on April the 1st and then send them out little wet, little drippy koozies.
I'm a little wet, little drippy.
So my fiance tells me over the weekend, hey, my mom wants to know what little wet, little drippy means. And I'm like, well, it's kind of a long story. I don't know if I can do it justice over text. But the Cliff's Notes version is that was Mohamed Bamba, Texas freshman center, one and done, who was another one of these guys embroiled in illegal recruiting allegations. And it happened because his brother said right before the season that he knows that Mo Bamba was given all of this stuff by recruiting people, by coaches, by agents, that he should be ineligible. And he knows because he's his brother. And so he takes to social media, I think it was an Instagram post, maybe Facebook Live, and he just sets up his phone and he is talking into the camera poolside about all the things his brother took under the table. And he just gets out of the pool. He's got his towel, his bathing suit on. He's just like so laid back. And I thought it was so funny that here to this guy trying to burst open the NCAA, here to this guy trying to be the whistleblower, here to this guy who's got inside information, and instead of taking this to the media, having a sit-down interview with Sports Illustrated or the New York Times or ESPN 60 or some investigative arm, here is the ultimate whistleblower in college going, he's my brother. I'm watching him take cars. I'm watching him take jewelry. And he's doing it over Facebook Live at the pool. And so before he gets into his dissertation, he's talking about how he's going to blow the lid off everything and just goes, all right, so pardon me. I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
And he's just like kind of excited about himself, feeling himself. And he's so laid back and so informal, he's actually wet coming out of the pool to be the whistleblower on college basketball.
Pardon me, my fault. I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
Pardon me. A little wet, a little drippy over here. And I just thought that was so funny. So that's where little wet, little drippy comes from. Daniel tweets, DA, dare I say karma? For all the big Robbie Rosenhaus run you've given him over the past 2 weeks. Duke and Virginia were bought out to lose those games by all the people at CBS who didn't appreciate Big Robbie's 15 minutes of fame.
Oh, okay.
I love Robbie.
I have given Robbie Rosenhaus, a.k.a. the House, a platform over the last couple of weeks.
Robbie.
And that has driven a lot of people very, very batty around here.
Correct.
Very unhappy campers here at CBS Sports Radio.
Correct.
And apparently the final straw was the PGP. And I had Rosenhaus on for 20-some-odd minutes. He was explaining his excuses and why he has been late for a shift and left early for a shift and how he thinks he's the smartest guy here in the building. And it just was really enlightening. We're going to go over either tomorrow or Wednesday the top five moments of the Robbie Rosenhaus expose on the show. And you can decide for yourself if you don't get to listen to the PGP, because this week's PGP is going to be a round table discussion analyzing by those here in the newsroom that dislike him.
Correct.
So you'll get to decide for yourself. But it's possible. People don't like me for giving this guy run. And this was karma biting me in the butt, because my bracket is crap, and now I'm going to be the one that's likely eating this salsa.
How about that?
How about that, Robbie? How about that?
Robbie.
It's time for your Ask the Pros question of the day. I don't think that's ever going to get old. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Chris tweets, DA, are you sold on Marvin Bagley being a star in the NBA? Yes, I am. Length, speed, explosion. He's got to get more consistency with his jump shot. But the way that he gets to the rack, the way that he gets to the rim, the way that he can glide through down the floor, he's just a natural scorer. He's got length and size so he can rebound as well. He is built like the modern prototypical NBA star. You want swing men that can get to the rack, but can step out and hit three-pointers. There's very much a lot of Durant in his game. Now, he's not nearly as dominant as Durant was in his 1 year at Texas, but there's a lot to love around Marvin Bagley. So, yes, I think he's going to be a star. I think he's going to be the number two or number three pick of this draft. I think DeAndre Ayton is going to be number one. Everybody still loves size, and there's little Boogie Cousins in his game, and Karl Anthony Towns, and the ability to be athletic and big and dominant, but also powerful in the post, is something that just nobody's going to be able to pass up. You know, there is a kid, Slovenian, that is very, very attractive as well. Luka Doncic, I believe is how you pronounce his last name, and he's going to be a high-end pick, maybe the number one pick, but I still think DeAndre Ayton is going to end up going number one. Obviously, we've got a couple months to go before the NBA draft, but what you're watching in the tournament, now none of those guys are going to be still there and still dancing, is that this year the one-and-dones did not have their day in the sun. DeAndre Ayton in Arizona bounced early. Kentucky had an open road bounce of the Sweet 16 by Kansas State. You had kind of all these one-and-done guys. I mean, even Duke with Wendell Carter and Marvin Bagley, both guys that will go in the lottery more than likely, both guys will probably go in the top 10, didn't even make it to the Final Four. And so it's a different type of tournament, but I think that makes it a fun tournament, knowing that just these dominant one-and-done players didn't just step onto campus and race through the bracket. Your toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls, is my impersonation of Coach K, and not everybody was happy about it, including Duke fans on the phones.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
And now we don't have any Coach K press conferences for the next week or so. And that's going to be really upsetting because he's just so proud of his guys.
I thought they were deserving of winning too.
I just really want to congratulate Kansas. They're a great team.
When you have a great game, you usually have two teams that are deserving of winning, but only one wins.
Bill's a very, very good coach. He's a great coach. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Again, congratulations to them.
You know, Grayson, you know, that shot didn't go in, but I can't really argue about anything that he did on the floor. He wanted to make things happen. Grayson's been a great leader all season long.
He's a 2,000-point scorer. You know, been our leader this year.
He really has.
You know, it's an honor to play in this game.
And it was really an honor to play in this game, and I feel really great about the effort our guys put forth. It was a great game. It was an honor to play in this.
They have a storied program, and so do we. And
we just fell a little bit short. But, I mean, they've got a great program. So do we. We're really great. We have a very storied program. Did I mention how storied we all are? We have a lot of championships, a lot of great players around here. And now I'm going to go crawl back into my hole and dye my hair.
Danny's in South Carolina. Good morning, Dan.
You may not like what I'm going to say now, but I thought it was a little shameful to make fun of someone's tone of voice.
Grace has been a great leader all season long. He really has.
After the way,
Oh, come on. Coach K is worth $7 million a year. I can't make fun of his voice.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, it's almost like, I hear you ranting about the New England Patriots. It's almost like you're happiest if everybody is dumbed down to the same level of misery.
You think I'm happy when other people are miserable?
Oh, it seems like you don't like dominance and excellence.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Yeah, there's something to that. Yeah, I will readily admit that's probably a character flaw of mine. I don't like excellence and dominance. As a sports fan, that's why we have mid-major mothership around here, because I like to spread the wealth. I like the Cinderella. I like the underdog story. I love David over Goliath. I hate Goliath. Get Goliath out of here. I don't want Goliath anymore. Yeah, that's probably true. Kyle tweets, Schadenfreude, pleasure derived from someone from another person's misfortune. Hashtag Duke gets it. Hashtag Pats get it. Hashtag Warriors get it. Those are all teams I have reveled in them losing, yes. That is absolutely true. How about that? That's me. That's who I am. I guess that's who I am. If you win a lot, I am rooting for you to get taken down. Cut down to your own size, because there's a lot of arrogance that comes with winning a lot. And when you lose, there's always excuses. I mean, how many Duke fans complained about the officiating last night? How many Duke fans just complaining? We never get the calls. We're not getting calls. You always get the calls. Patriots fans griping about bad luck. Bad luck! Bad luck is the Tuck Rule game. Bad luck is throwing it on the goal line. Yeah, so I think that's true. And I'm proud to stand for the little guy. Vote DA 2020. I'm standing with the mid and low majors. That's my people. All right? I'm sticking to it. By the way, I can already tell the guys behind the glass not happy that I want to replay some of the best of the Robbie PGP from last week.
Enough.
It'll never be enough.
Oh, it's enough.
Pat it.
It'll never be enough.
You and him could go in a sinking ship together.
I'll drill the hole.
That will do it for us this morning here on the show. It's so nice to be back with you guys. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan on the simulcast. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We're back at it tomorrow for Trash Tuesday. Be good and be good to one another. The mothership disconnects. Can you feel the love?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.